sing it unto him now.
Oh, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living with you. Thanks you, for you.
Amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Just make me a sanctuary. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3, where we've been reading. We'll try to continue our thought on from this morning. And just remember now that I know one announcement has been made, but you know, make sure now if you have anything you want to give Ryan for the shower gift, that you make sure and give it to Peggy, and where we can, you know, get everything together for him and all. And, Revelation 3, we'll start reading in verse 10. And, having to check the thing back there because some of the sound went off, and sometimes it's on one of the buttons, but we'll get it back on. All right. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, Father, because we love you. We cherish your great name and your great understanding, the great light that you've given in the end time unto each and every one of us. We pray, Father, that you would just guide us now and keep us and have us to say what you'd want to be said, and that your love would be made manifest to each and every one of us. Teach us to wait, Father, because in waiting we know that, Lord, we receive patience, and we need that more than anything. So just guide each one now. As we read your word, you come and you speak to our hearts, and you guide each and every one of us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 3, we'll begin verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, Brother Brown said the reason it said, you know, behold, I come quickly. Remember the overlap now and what it's doing. It overlaps into the Laodicean age. And he said, then he's saying, behold, I come quickly, because the Laodicean age is going to be a short age. We may think it's a long time, you know. We may think that, we're here 2007 and think, you know, that it's a long time, but it's a very short age. So that's what he says, reason it says, behold, I come quickly. And what to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I ran some quotes, just a few. We're going to use what we were using this morning. We haven't finished on the part of, you know, what you've got the notes on. So if some of you are missing the notes, maybe you can get them from somebody and do. But I want you to see, you know, where we are and what's going on. Just, that's the only one we have. And then there's maybe some of them that didn't come this morning need some quotes, so to get them. I hope you was following me this morning and trying to get understanding, because I've not finished upon it now. I'm just trying to take a part here this afternoon, and the Lord willing, Wednesday we will pick back up more on the name of Jesus. So we'll put the title this morning to it, the name of Jesus. Just leave it that way. And this afternoon will be message number 22, I think it is. Yes, this will be 22. And it'll be a pillar in the temple. But you'll see why later on when we get to it in a minute, why is the title. But if you notice in verse 8, it says, thou hast not denied my name. Now, Brother Branham said, You know, and I gave it to you this morning. 1, 2, 3 had the name of Jesus. Number 4 lost the name of Jesus. Number 5 comes out with a name that you're living but you're dead, which was a denominational name, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they didn't have the name of Jesus revealed. Not if they couldn't quote it. I keep saying that because I know how the human mind varies in what's said a lot of times. But it's not that they didn't know the name Jesus. It's they didn't have a revelation that Jesus was Almighty God. They had what they thought was a revelation that He was the second or third person of the Trinity. And there's no such revelation. There's no revelation He's the second or third. There's no revelation that He's even the first person. Because if He's the first person, that can mean He's more persons. And so He's not. The revelation is of one true and living God, and Jesus is His name. Jesus said, I come in My Father's name. All right? So then, truly, if we'd understand, you know, there sits Jacob this afternoon. He's a fountain. Why? Because his daddy's name, Fountain. That's sensible. And like one of the brothers said a while ago, said it's too simple, Brother David, there. It's just too simple for you to talk like that. But we want this big revelation, you know. Now, you know, they thought they had a revelation about the Trinity. You know. But there is no revelation about the Trinity. We used to teach hell was eternal. There's no revelation about that. We used to teach the bride goes through the tribulation. No revelation about that because it's not true. See? It's Satan's revelation handed down to each one of us. But now, see, when they did, see, they said the fifth age, it says you got a name that you're living, but you're dead. They had a denominational name. But then in the next very age, which we found this morning to be between the Philadelphia and Laodicea and the Lapover, the restoration of the name. And then it says there in verse 8 of what we read this morning of the third chapter, that hast not denied My name. See, right now your name comes back. You go 1, 2, 3, church ages, you lose the name in the fourth. Fifth doesn't say anything about it. He lost the name. You got a name. But sixth age comes in and says, you haven't denied My name. In other words, it's coming back. A promise to the believer. A promise that in between the Laodicean, the Philadelphia and Laodicean, that God would bring back the revelation of the name. And He did. And started what was called the oneness doctrine back there. About 1912 and all through there. Seymour and them began to preach on the oneness. And sure, they went off on it. See? But still, they had it a whole lot better than the Trinity was. You know. But then they went on off with it, see, and made it Jesus only. You know, and that won't work. But it's the name of God. And like I told you, the red letter edition shows you this is Jesus talking. And He said, I'll write upon you My name, the name of My God. Well, who was His God? Who was Jesus' God? You're not looking at it like Jesus had a God or Jesus had a Father, you know, and He's a Son, and then there's a Holy Spirit. It's three manifestations of the same God. But He's just trying to get us to see the name of My God. What is the name of My God? If His name was Jesus and His Father's name was Jesus, that wouldn't be any problem, would it? Danny Fountain, Jacob Fountain, Hope Fountain. Any problems? Why? Because you know who your Father is. And Jesus, as I said this morning, didn't say, you know, ask the Father anything in the name of the Father. He said, ask the Father in My name. Why? Because His name and the Father's name was the same. It was Jesus. You couldn't pronounce J-V-H-V. There was no way to do that. No vowels, as we call it, in it to, you know, to be able to pronounce it. And so they put it in there, Jehovah. But that's not a name. That's just a title. And He said, by My name, Jehovah was I never known. Or by My name, J-V-H-V. See? My real name was never even made known in the Old Testament, He's saying. What was the name of God? You shall call His name Emmanuel, because it's God with us. Huh? Why didn't they call Him Emmanuel? Because they'd done been told to call him Jesus. Because that's the only name God ever had. Now that shouldn't be any problem with us. To understand that, I'll get more on it Wednesday on some more quotes with it. But I'm not trying to argue with anybody about it. I'm just trying to preach. Because I believe the Godhead is the only thing there is in the Bible. I mean, that's what I believe. Anything you read in the Bible, what is it? It's explaining one God. Yeah, but you got the seals, the plagues, the vials, the trumpets. If it's not talking about Jesus, who's it talking about? You got marriage and divorce, stuff like that, but what's it talking about? Are you married to Adam or Christ, as Brother Moat used to preach years ago? If you're married to Adam, then you need a new birth tonight. But if you're married to Christ, by the new birth, see, you and God are one. But that's hard for the human mind to comprehend, isn't it? It's hard for us to realize that we are the offspring of God. And if we're the offspring of God, He had no trouble calling us brother. And He had no trouble saying that we were equal with Him. Yeah, but I guess you could say in a way. See, that's that same Trinitarian concept. That's that same thing that's got you bound. When you think it's something, well, it could be, I guess you could say it that way. No, it's either right to say it or it's wrong to say it. Now, this is no playground. This is no jumping about and being, you know, this is the day of the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. See, then to me, the name of Jesus is, and I'm going to put this on here and then I'll finish it Wednesday, the Lord willing. When we leave out of here and get into glory, and there's a new name revealed. The prophet said you'd have the same name. Because you're not going to be Miss Jesus and him be Mr. Melchizedek. You know, just as an example. You're going to have the same name. But what do you think the foolish virgins are going to have? What do you think the fifth seal Jews are going to have? What do you think all them Jews are going to have that are not born again? They're going to still be saying Jesus. So don't worry about it. You'll never do away with the name of Jesus. Because the foolish virgins and things can't receive the revelation of the Godhead like you do. Because if they did, they'd get born again. That is the new birth. Is the revelation of His deity. So they'll never be able to call Him by any new name. But they'll still call Him Jesus. And He won't walk down through among the foolish virgins and say, y'all get away from me. I'm so-and-so. I'm known to another name. No. It's no problem for my kids to come up and say, Daddy. But see, I'm way beyond there. You know what? Is there any problem, Brother Dick, for your kids to call you Daddy? But you're way beyond that, ain't you? You're Granddaddy. But when they call you Daddy, you say, yeah, yeah. The other one calls you Granddaddy. Yeah, yeah. Your wife calls you Honey. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I get. Okay. But, see, you'll never lose the name of Jesus. Don't try to do away with it. It's a never-ending revelation about Him. And those people will never see Him like you see Him. Because it would take the new birth here for them to be able to understand that. And they don't get it here. They have to wait till they get later to White Throne to receive eternal life. And they can't speak like we can. They can't be like the songs of Solomon where she says, when you see my lover, see, she could speak of him in certain ways, but she was telling them denominations. Well, go back and study the songs of Solomon. She worked for them denominations. It's plain language. She worked for them people. But one day she's on her own. The Bible is full of the truth. Why can't we believe it? But now, so I get on that, I won't get off of it. But now listen. The prophet said you can call Him Jesus, Jesus, and worship the devil. But Brother Dale, I know who I'm talking about. Well, who is he to you? That'll prove whether you know what he's talking about or not. Do you believe his name is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, how many of you need to get baptized? Because if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been baptized at all. I don't care how many times you went down a dry center and come up a wet one. You have now, I'm quoting your prophet, you have never been baptized if you're just saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You say, but yet he knows I love him. He knows you don't because you won't do what he said. See? So the truth is what's hard. Oh, truth is easy. No, it ain't. Truth's hard. It gets down where you live at. And it roots out things. It's just like Brother Harris, don't mind me saying, he got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that's right. Jesus Christ went. Because he was baptized in a church that believed under regeneration. I believe that's correct. If it's not, he can tell you. But somebody, I baptized somebody because I told him, I said, I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been under regeneration. If you was baptized under regeneration somewhere in a church that believed that water baptism was regeneration, I think you ought to get baptized again. Because you're believing the wrong thing. You was believing wrong when you got baptized. You ought to know what you're doing. I've baptized a lot of people in this church over again because they didn't know what they were doing the first time they was baptized. And that's fine with me. I'll baptize every one of you again this afternoon. Because I want you to believe what you believe to be right. Some of you have said to me, I was young when I got baptized. You know, I want to get baptized again. I said, come on, we go. Because I want your mind clear. Because you can't have a clear mind with anything that's hindering you. You can't be set free. Get it free. Brother Moat used to say it like this. He said, if you stole a man's horse, at least you could take his horse back. Well, that was a good point, you know. Because at least you'd be free if you took his horse back. You'd say, oh, he's a millionaire. He don't need that horse back. And you'll face God as an unbeliever. Let's do what he said. All right, let me get on now. Let's go to the next message. See, they left off the name of Jesus and came out in the fifth church age with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That was to them the name of God. Come on now. Understand what I'm saying. That was to them the name of God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Replace the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? That's where your Trinity got developed from. But God opened the door between the sixth and seventh age, beginning to reveal the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. The name began to be restored. Or let me put it this way. The revelation of the name was what was beginning to be restored. Not just his name that you call him and you didn't know to call him at before. Now I know how to call him Jesus. Well, you can call him Jesus and worship the devil. That's how close it is. But now listen. The revelation of God has more to do with anything you could ever think of in your life now. Get this point right here. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of one God, has more to you than you could think of in your life to you. It is the greatest thing that has ever been. It's for God to reveal himself to you and I. Like I've always said now, it wouldn't matter to a Trinitarian. When Brother Branham got up there and was fixing to preach the White Horse Rider as the Holy Ghost, he said he was. The Holy Spirit told him that was wrong. Told him the truth of it. Then he said, then I seen that God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost were the self-same person. He said, so there, here stands the Lamb, Jesus, God Almighty, Christ, whatever, standing here with a book in his hand, and there goes a wild horse rider. He said, see, that's another fella. So it's got to be the Antichrist. But what would a Trinitarian care about that? Trinitarian said, there goes one riding that way, and one riding that way, and one riding this way, and one going, oh man, look at the Holy Trinity. That's what June's mother said that time. Said, Sam, don't even believe in the Holy Trinity. I would if it was holy. I mean, you know, I'm just honest. If it was holy, I'd believe in it. It don't exist. I mean, people want you to believe in something that don't even exist. But listen, do you realize what it's going to do? Now, get to the point of what I'm talking about in the age here. Fifth age lost its name. Sixth age, end of the age, coming into the seventh, the name is to be restored. You've got my name. You haven't denied it. It's coming back. All right, now that's not all. Watch what the coming back of the name reveals. Now listen to what I'm saying. The coming back of the name reveals something. We're going to read it. But it's the coming back of the name that reveals it. You say, well, the coming back of the name reveal God. You know, reveal Jesus. That's fine. But what about the rest of it there in the Bible? Thou hast not denied my name, verse 8. Now watch what it says. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews. You know, they say they're the chosen. They got the truth. We've got it. You got to come to us. And are not, but do lie. Now, the only way you can separate that is by one true and living God. Or you're a liar. Because you're lying about God. All right, now listen. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. And we're talking about the revelation of one God now makes this known. They are one day going to come and worship at your feet. Why? Because God loved us and we loved him. The revelation. All right, now watch the next now. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Now what's the word of his patience? What is the word of his patience? Because thou hast kept my word. Now listen. And by keeping my word has produced patience. Is that one of the virtues in the stature of a perfect man? Is it the opening of the word that brings the patience, the virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, and that? Isn't that what it is? So you what now? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You've patiently waited. You've endured. You went through this. Martin Luther knew there was something wrong, but he couldn't straighten it out. He didn't know how. John Wesley knew there was things wrong. I told you, John Wesley said, I'd rather die than them denominate my message like they did Martin Luther. He realized something was going on, but he couldn't do anything. He was doing the best he could do, but he was doing something. He was keeping the word as much as he could. And watch what it says about it. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What is the hour of temptation? Now, the revelation of one God is going to reveal the hour of temptation. Because it's going to prove it. Now come on, just think with me, and let's read what your prophet had to say about it, all right? Because there's something here I want you to see now. What is the hour of temptation? So get your notes that you had this morning. Look at number 4 on your notes, which is paragraph 254, Philadelphian Church Age book, Church Age, which is 1960, 1210. Everybody's reading, coming down and to worship at that feet, and I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Watch now to show this is not the Methodist age I'm talking about, yet it's the lap over. Look, because are you ready to listen? Now this point's going to show it's not in the Methodist age, it's in the lap over. What's the point he's going to show you? Now listen. Because I had kept the word of my patience, and I also keep thee, that little remnant, from the hour of temptation. The church is going to come to a place where you're going to have to get in this organization, or B, you're going to have it, brother. That's all. You're either going to be organized or take the mark of the beast. There's no gray area. Either one of the two, right? Or take. You're either going to organize it or go into the denomination, which is actually coming the mark of the beast because it's a boycott. Now that was paragraph 254. You keep right on reading. Paragraph 256, same message. Now this great temptation, the hour of temptation shall come to try the whole world, goes into the tribulation. Now you listen to what he said? It goes into. It's going to start, and it's already started now, and it will go into the tribulation. So he's going to keep us from the hour of temptation. He's going to keep us from these things now. And then he's going to, if we are kept from these things now, we don't have to worry about the tribulation. Are you listening? You talking about, what are you talking about? The true one, the revelation of one true and living God is going to keep you from the hour of temptation. It's only a revelation that can keep you. Because listen to what he's saying there. Now this great temptation, the hour of temptation that shall come to try the whole world, goes into the tribulation. Just in a few minutes we'll see it. Goes on into the tribulation. And the tribulation did not come in the days of Wesley. But now he's placing it out and correct, right? So what age are we in? What's this door set before? It's between the Wesleyan and the, where the church is headed right now, and already into the Laodicean age. But this little place right in here, that's been the last 35, 40 years, even gives the numbers now, has been an open door sitting right before the people to come in, and God will take the remnant and seal it off, and they'll go into a lukewarm, and he'll spurt them out of his mouth. The work will be cut short. Up goes the church, and here comes the Antichrist moving in for destruction. Just perfect, fits with the whole Bible right together. Now he's going to keep you from the hour of temptation. That's already started. He said last 35, 40 years. So this would be 60. So if it's been going on 35, 40 years, then it's done started a long time ago. 35, 40 years from 60 would be back in 20. And that'd be somewhere around where Haywood and those brothers came out right before then preaching the oneness doctrine. But he said he's going to keep you from the hour of temptation. Now what's going to keep you, Brother Gary? Well, I'm going to keep myself. I just ain't going to have nothing to do with it. You don't have to have anything to do with a denomination to be a denomination. You was born one. You was born automatically a denomination. Well, I ain't never been in one. That don't have one thing to do with it. The carnality of our mind, which comes by the natural birth, it automatically makes us an organization. So you don't have to belong to a church. Some of you could say, I never was in a church. That don't make no difference. A Hottentot in Africa, not throwing off on him, but never heard of the word church. He's born in a denominational system. Why? Because he's born contrary to God. He was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, spouse from his mother's womb, went forth a liar. So he's an organization. And to prove it, he tries to organize everything. We've seen them monkeys climbing the tree, and they get the bananas. I can't climb that high. Aaron, let me get on your shoulder. We'll get some bananas or coconut. You see what we're doing? We're organizing it. We're getting it together, you know. Good ideas. He said, I'm just trying to illustrate now. All right. But listen. Listen to what your prophet goes on to say. This is 313 of the Church Age book, which is the Philadelphian Church Age. Number 6 and number 7 is a continuation. He goes on to say to them, because you have kept, because you have taken my word and lived it and thereby become patient, I will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now here again we see the overlapping of the two ages. For this promise, and listen, promise, has to do with the end of the Gentile period, which culminates in the great tribulation in this age. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. This verse is not a declaration that the true church will go into and through the tribulation. Now listen, he said it is not a declaration of that. If it meant that, it would have said that. But said, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'll keep you from the tribulation. Now watch him. Watch how close he makes it now. Watch him bring it right down to where we're living. All right? This temptation is exactly like the temptation in Eden. It will be a very inviting position, held up in direct opposition to God's commanded word, and yet from the standpoint of human reasoning, it will be so very right, so enlightening, and life-giving as to fool the world. Well, look at them churches. Look at all of the good work. Look at all of the people they're feeding. Look at all of the hospitals they're building. Look at all of the things. John even looked at it in the Isle of Patmos and admired it. A beautiful church system around the world doing wonderful works. Listen. Only the very elect will not be fooled. Now listen to what he says. And it's going to keep us from the hour of temptation. Right? Because we don't go through the tribulation. So we're not going into tribulation. But we're in here where tribulation worketh patience. We're in what is called a pre-tribulation by the prophet in the seal book. Which means it's existing before the final tribulation. We're under where Eichmann and Hitler and them drove the Jews back to the homeland. We're under where that the 200,000 demons, it was released that was in the 40s. The demons were released, the prophet said, in the 20 years later, which would have been in the 60s, released upon the bride of Jesus Christ to drive her to the message of the hour. Right. Now, I'm quoting Brother Branham. All right. Listen, only the very elect will not be fooled. The temptation will come as follows. The ecumenical move that has started on what seems such a beautiful and blessed principle. And what is that principle? He describes it. Fulfilling Christ's prayer that we all might be one. Become so strong politically that she bears pressure upon the government to cause all to join with her either directly or through adherence to principles enacted into law so that no people will be recognized as actual churches unless under direct or indirect domination of this council. I made a prediction a few weeks ago. Hillary Clinton needs the Christian vote to become president. If she gets Obama, or how you pronounce his name, one of them, one or the other, if one's running for president and the other vice president, you got to have the religious society to put them in. They've already got the homosexuals. They've already got all of the perverts. They've already got all kind of things. Come on. They got the black vote. They got part of the white vote. But they need the religious vote. You watch her become more and more religious and start dealing with Christianity. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll come right here and tell you I'm wrong. That's just a prediction. That's just what I see naturally, because she's got to have a certain amount of what is called a Christian society to elect her to office. Let's see who's going to get it. Oh, and by the way, you can ask Brother David about this. It's against the law for any of you to use the word homosexual, but I can from the pulpit. Okay? He's in a position you ought to know a little bit about some of these things. But listen, little groups will lose charters, privileges, so forth, until they lose all property and spiritual rights with the people. Now, a lot of people think that's the tribulation and the people on over in the tribulation. I don't see it that way. I see that's right here now. Right. Yeah, but brother, God's not going to let his little bride go through it. He's not going to let his bride go through no tribulation. He's going to take her out of here before that. But it's the tribulation that's going to drive me and you to the position we need to be. It was Eichmann and Hitler and them that drove the Jews to the homeland. The prophet said those demons we released on the bride to drive her to the message of the hour. Come on, send it on where we can get on with this thing. Now watch, he gives an example. Right now, unless the local or ministerial association approves in many, if not most cities, one cannot rent a building for religious services. To become chaplains in the armed services, hospitals, and so forth, it is now almost mandatory to be recognized as acceptable to the Trinitarian Ecumenical Group. When Danny was in the hospital, I tried something. Most of you don't even know this. I don't know. I don't think you can tell my wife. I doubt it. I run into a head representative, because we were around her so much, because they thought Joyce was the mama and I was the daddy, and you know. So we're all welcomed. They seen me so much, the doctor turned around to me and he'd explain what's going on to Danny. That's his wife, not me. But anyhow, I saw this lady and I said, I'd like to ask you something. She says, what? I said, Danny's going to, we were talking a little bit about the case, something. Joyce wasn't there. Might have been either they'd left or something. It was up in the room. And I said, I'd like to ask you something. I said, I'm having a whole lot of trouble parking out here. I said, the only way I could go down and get a pass as a minister? She thought for a minute. She said, well, I guess so. I said, yeah, I'd like to get a pass where I could just park as a chaplain minister. She said, I'll check on that. She come back and she said, no, we've got our own chaplains. And we've got our own parking for them. And we can't do it for any of the preachers other than the ones we've got. I just grinned. Because I knew what Brother Brown said about this. I was just going to see what they'd do. I wasn't going to go sign nothing away to get no parking place. I was just going to see what they'd do about it. And she told me, no, we can't do that. Real nice about it. But listen. That it was mandatory, recognized, acceptable to the Trinitarian Ecumenical Group. As this pressure increases, and it will be harder to resist. For to resist is to lose privilege. And so many will be tempted to go along. For they will feel it better to serve God publicly in the framework of this organization than not to serve God at all publicly. Isn't that wonderful? But Brother Dale, we want to be a church. We want to serve God publicly. It's better for us to serve Him publicly than to not serve Him at all. Now listen to what he said. But they err, E-R-R, err. To believe the devil's lie is to serve Satan. And though they may want to call him Jehovah, but the elect will not be deceived. Going to keep us from the great tribulation, because we're not going to have to go. But he's going to keep us in the time of this great time that's fixing to take place. And it's going to be in a pre-tribulation. It's going to be in a time when they'll come in and say, you're going to lose your tax status. Everybody say, okay, that's good. Brother Branham said they would use the churches as storehouses. The Homeland Security already has you recorded. Maybe we shouldn't be that much public with it, brother. We put it just as much as we can without being public to know the names and things. The Homeland Security already has it made to where they can take this building to store stuff in. Food to help the poor. Oh no, they can't do that. We're in America. Many, many years ago, there was a man came to this church with Brother Hantus. This is way back in the old days we were having ministers meet. Brother Harris might have been here. Some of you may have been here. Brother Geary might have. That brother got up here and he said, I have got a telephone number I can call. And he said, I can give your name. He said, they'll take you in. And he said, you cannot get a lawyer to represent you. And your family cannot see you for 14 days until they totally evaluate you to see whether you're a threat to a religious society. Now this is about 20-something years ago. Way back in the early days, I don't remember who the two brothers were, but they told about it. They went down to have a jail service, I believe it was. It might have been a hospital. Anyhow, they said, oh yeah, here, sure, just sign this piece of paper and said, you can go right on and have your services. They were smart enough to take the paper home with them, got a lawyer to read it. If they'd have signed that paper, they would have put their church into the World Council of Churches. Brother Harris is raising his hand back there. He knows about it. You think that they don't know all about us? I told you about the time when the door was up here and they broke in. There could be bugs in here. I didn't look for them. We removed. If I'd have found a bug when we was changing this building around, I'd have left the booger. If there's one in here now, I wouldn't take it out. Well, they ain't got nothing to hide. A lot of you have never heard this. But a lot of you heard it. There was a little black brother came here. His name was Cash. And for me to said to him what I said to him, most of you would flog me about it. Because that man come to altar every service. My wife and him's witnesses to it. Brother Colley and him. That man would come to service down every day just about it. Would come to the altar and cry and pray and just, oh, he was just so, you know, wanting to serve the Lord. And he lived over here in an old tent thing on a fellow named Nix's place. Nix would come here every once in a while. I guess that's where he found out about us and get tapes and all. He was a Pentecostal. But that little brother would just come to the altar and he's, I'm sorry, I didn't get to take a bath. He was just so humble. He said, you know, I'm sorry. I know it don't smell good. He was just so humble and so sweet. And I'm not kidding you, in the altar crying and praying almost every service. I walked outside with him for just a little while one day. And I never told nobody about it for 3 months. And I walked out there with him. I said, Brother Cash, I said, something's telling me that you're a government agent that come here to check us out. Now, what would you say, Aaron, if I said that to you? You would start saying, oh, no, 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 no. And you'd at least change the expression. He never moved one eye. He never moved one muscle. That man was trained to the T, boy. He looked me dead in the eye. I looked him there and I said, "Brother, report the truth. We don't have nothing to hide. Just tell the truth about us is the only thing I ask you to do." I didn't get up here and tell nobody about it. 3 months before he even told my wife. I was really embarrassed. I thought later about it like Isaiah when he come out and said, "A virgin shall conceive." How did that man feel when he went home? How do you think I felt when such an humble man was just crying and screaming out to God? I said, "You're a government agent. You come in here and check us out." I said, "Do a good job, but just report the truth about us. Don't tell no lies on us." He come about 2 more weeks and he left. The last I heard of him at that time, he went through Brother Cooper down in Atlanta. You think they don't know where we're at and what we're doing? They can listen anywhere they want to and anything we say. That's why I decided to go public with it. Put it on the internet and let the world have it. Let them have it. Let them listen. They did. They broke the lock on this church, come in and fixed that thing back. Only it was just the hand of God, and I looked down and saw what they'd done. They'd fixed that lock back so well, but I knew exactly. But you see, church, they know where we're at, and they know what we're doing, but that ain't got nothing to do with it. That don't bother me whatsoever, and it's not to scare you. It's to tell you, if God could tell me he was a government agent, he never moved a muscle when I said that to him. Never blinked an eye. Never said a word to me, anything whatsoever about it. I just walked away from it. They know all about us and all the things and what we believe. We're number one, evidently, must be on the pull-up on the internet, because when that sister of the blind, when she wanted some help to try to find out something about some believers of William Branham, they sent us the material. Must have been where they could pull it up and hurry and get us. Thank God. Well, you may be in jail on account of what you believe. Well, that's all right. I'll prove what I am. If I recant and won't go to jail, you'll know then who your pastor is. If I try to soap salt, you know, walk, well, now what we need to do is, we need to do this. We need to do that. We need to agree with this. Now I'm going to say what I want to say. It'd be so easy to give in. What if they decided to... Now remember, Brother Rand used the word inheritance, which means some other group, you know. You remember that in what I was reading? In other words, a group or some group related. What if they come in and said, "Well now, we're going to accept Brother so-and-so's doctrine as being what the prophet taught." And you can come under his umbrella as to believe his doctrine. What do you think it's going to be when it comes? We'll let you go all alone if you'll just go along with so-and-so's doctrine. Because we recognize him. Because he preaches River Jordan, and that's as Trinitarian as he can get. Okay? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, it's better to serve God publicly than it is to not serve Him at all. Brother Brennan said to believe Satan's lie was to serve Satan. Now, I didn't write that. What if they put it on a doctrinal issue and they accept so-and-so's as doctrine, as truth? Well, Brother Dale, we want a church. We're too old to start driving. But you know what I like about it? He said he promised me I'll keep you from the hour of temptation. I'll keep you during the time. I'll warn you ahead of time. I'll tell you that man was a government agent. I'll let you know. Don't worry about it. Some of you sitting here could be one either. I'm not going to try to run you out. I'm going to preach my heart out to you because I want to get you converted. I hope there's a bug in every place in this building. I hope there's somebody sitting today listening to me talk about the love of Jesus Christ. Because that's who I love and who I want to serve. And I want them to do it too. Like we were all talking about it one time, you know, when they said that Brother Brown said they had a concentration camp up yonder in Alaska or somewhere, Canada or Alaska, one. They had this place fixed, waiting on us. I'd hate to be a guard around a bunch of true bride of Christ, wouldn't you? You talking about something back down there during the dark ages when they were killing those Christians? And you know what it was recorded of? A lot of those soldiers and things, great robust men that were just murderers of all kinds, was taking those people to throw them into the lions, and they just seen so much of the love of God, they just throw down their stuff, just walk right in. That's the kind of love you want to see. Not how much I can quote Brother Branham, but how much I can love God and let Him make manifest through me. He promised to keep us from the tribulation. How's He going to keep you from it? How's He going to keep you, Brother Aaron, from being caught into a system that will lead you into the tribulation? It's because the Bible says they that know their God shall do exploits. They that know their God shall know the truth, and it'll set you free. What has kept you and I from going off into all of these denominational ideas that's run the land? It's certainly not been me. It's been the Holy Spirit to warn us not to follow these doctrines, but to love the people that have the doctrines. Love them, but not what's motivating them. But little babies can get caught. Now come on, women, you use the side of your brain that does the side of it that's, you know, the emotional side. The homemaker, the things, you know, you're the more the emotional side. You're on, I think, the right-hand side, right? That the women use one of them. I don't know which one it is. But the men use the other side of the brain, which is making a living and doing things and working and playing and hunting and fishing and... But the prophet said it and the Bible said it. Your sisters are 1,000 times more easy to deceive than a man. I didn't say that. Your Bible said it. I don't care how smart you are. There's plenty of sisters in here got a whole lot more education than I ever thought about having in my life. A whole lot smarter than I am in the realm of educational realm. But you're not chosen to preach the gospel. Why? Because you can be deceived. You can be deceived easier than the man. All right? See, then that's why God put us in the position. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't like that. Well, all right then. See, now you know right there there's something wrong with you. If you had a wrong thought about what I just said, I had the right attitude and present it the best I could. Yeah, but you're just picking on the women. Now, you know better than that, and you know that's a lying devil, because I have been the one that has stood for the sisters all the way from the beginning when I come in this message. Now, you know that's the truth, and I've never beat you, and I've tried to tell you the truth, yes. But I have never beat you or anything with the Word. I've always tried to direct you, to lead you to the Lord. The greatest pleasure or thoughts could ever be is a true sister in Christ. Wanting to serve God because of an experience within their heart. And you know, you sisters then can lead the way to carry us back to get out of this position. You say lead the way? Yeah, because you are a part of the body of Christ. I've talked to a lot of sisters that had more revelation than a lot of men had. I'm honest. I'm not going off on you. I'm telling the truth. But I also come back and tell you you're more easily deceived. Why? Because you're on the emotional side. So watch that emotional side, sister, to carry you in the wrong thing. You know. Keep on the straight line of it, and you'll see the truth. But trying to preach one God now, the revelation of one God is going to keep us in the hour of temptation. The revelation of God's Word is going to keep us from being caught into the systems that's out here among this so-called message. And then you go somewhere like I did in Brazil and you sit down and look at those brothers. Don't even know that there was a drawing of Daniel 70 weeks. Didn't even know there was a drawing that Brother Branham had made. No books to check it out with. They can't run the computer because ain't nobody on the computer that's got a Brazilian, you know, what do you call it? Work to where they can read it that way, you know, and download it, do things with it. It can't be done. They're working on it. Thank God they're working on it. But you just think of people that there's no hopes of getting a lot of people the message because that they keep it cut off. The people of the message when it's cutting it off. And then you go and find out that they're not even teaching the truth of the one true and living God. It just rips your heart and it's totally out of you. To see sweet, humble, nice people, but yet no revelation. That gets your heart. Thank God for the truth. But listen, church. The revelation of one God is what's going to keep you from getting caught. I don't care if it's a doctrine of two souls, seven thunder virtues, parousia. I can take every one of them. If you want the rest of the evening, we'll take each one of them one at a time and show you they're every one attacked the Godhead. I don't care how much they preach about the Godhead. They're attacked the Godhead. I don't care how much the River Jordan people preach about the Godhead and who this was and what that was. They're attacking the Godhead. Because they're not preaching the one true and living God. But He'll keep us from that. He'll keep us from being caught by them things. If we'll just simply follow Him. I don't always say that I'm right in what I've done. And even the places I've traveled to, sometimes I went when it was not what I had, as thus saith the Lord, to go. But you know what's the odd position? I've had to travel to other countries to have a place to preach. Since I've been going to Jamaica, I've preached more in foreign countries than I did in any. In all the churches I preach here together, I preach more services in the foreign countries. I have one place that I'm welcome to go. I mean welcome. Oh, yes, the other said, Brother Dale wants you to come. I said, okay, set me a date and I'll be there. About 20 years from now. It evidently because it's been that long since some of them said that. I'm not throwing off on nobody. I don't blame them. I'm just telling you, it must be something I teach. I don't think it's they don't like my looks and all the things. They're really amazed in Brazil that I was 67 years old. You know. They said, you don't look that old. And then when they found it out, Brother Cesar kind of whispering around to Brother Ernie about, we better take care of the old man, you know. Brother Ernie said, He'll run with your young boys. You wait and find out. He'd come to me once in a while and he'd see, you know, he'd say, Brother Dale, you doing all right? I said, yeah, doing great. Need a little doubt, but I'm doing fine. But listen, church. The revelation of one God Because you cannot fulfill the overcoming part of this age without the revelation of one God. Let's read that and we'll get on just a second and I'll quit. I'll take up Wednesday night. Look what he says to the overcomer. Remember we covered the message today. Now the overcome, verse 12. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. We'll just do that part and then we'll take up the rest of it Wednesday, the Lord willing. Look at number 8 on your notes. Philadelphian Church Age, the message, 1960, 1210, paragraph 264. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Oh, let's just take it word by word for a minute, here for a minute. Will you bear with me that long? Just a minute. I know it's hot, and you know it's hot up here too, but let's see. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Pillar. A pillar or a foundation. Foundation in the temple of the house or the house of God. The temple of God or the house of my God. It's a pillar. The foundation. These are those that took the word which they heard in verse 8. Verse 8, about his name, and went back to the foundation. Now, where do you hear people preaching today about the faith of the fathers? They don't even know anything about it. It's not even preached anymore. We don't need all that. We're up here in headstone. Well, we ready to go. Where are you going? Well, I'm ready to go. 30 years ago, just like I am today. And that's about right, they was. Don't know no more about God in 30 years than they know 30 years ago. Take you back to the foundation. Take you back to the faith of the fathers. Who is our foundation? Ephesians 2, 20 right through 22 through there. Build on the foundation, apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Take the revelation of one God. Keep on it. It'll lead you back to the very revelation of the fathers that they had. How many gods the prophet said did they have in the book of Acts? How many did the first church had? He said, one God. He said, how many do we have? One God. Don't you think they knew that name? Remember, they were the ones that wrote like Acts where Paul was writing in the book of Luke, well, excuse me, in the book of Acts. And he was talking about none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved than the name of Jesus. How was this man healed? By his name and faith in his name. You see this man whole. Them apostles had the revelation of one true and living God. Not no such thing as a second person or a second identity, as they're trying to say today, or even the word entity that they're using. Why don't they go ahead and make him like brother, and start to say his name, but I won't. Like the brother said he ain't nothing but a demon god. Big man in this message preaches two lords. He said Jesus was a demon god. A demon god doesn't mean demon like demon. Demon god means another person. Means another god. Demon god. You got God and another god. And that's what he's teaching. God was one, Jesus was another. But yet they'll argue with each other and say, we're not teaching it that way. But what's the matter? Same doctrine. Where are you seeing them go back to the foundation? Going back to the Bible. Where did Paul and them? Do you think Paul and Peter? Do you think they'd listen to any of this garbage that's going on around the message? Come on, it's time to put it flat. Do you think they would believe the garbage that's preaching this message today? What do you think Paul would do? What do you think he'd say? If he heard some of these doctrines going around the message, what do you think he'd say? We're supposed to go back to the foundation of the apostles and prophets. prophet said, you take this. You take the revelation of Jesus Christ. You go back to the foundation. Paul taught the Jehovah the old, Jesus of the new. He said Jesus was Almighty God, Everlasting Father. What do you think he taught about God? Do you know what they knew? They knew that Jesus was the name of God. Come on, the apostles knew that. They knew that Jesus was the name of God. King, immortal, eternal, all-wise God, Paul said in Timothy. Where would these doctors today line up with the word about these men? Thank God, he said he'd keep us from the hour of temptation. Amen. That shall come upon the earth to try all of them. Something's got to lead everybody away. Except that little bitty bride. That doesn't bother me. It thrills me to death to know that there's millions following the message today. Why? Because at least if they're foolish virgins, they made foolish virgins. But it still ain't done away with fear not, little flock, because if it was millions went in the rapture and the change, it still wouldn't change that, because we are a little flock compared to the religious world of society is the way it is. But he said he'd take you back to the foundation. Take you back to the foundation of the one true and living God. And Jesus was his name. That's what the faith of the fathers is. Faith of the fathers is the revelation of the fathers. Everybody wants to go back to the faith of the Father. I want to go back to where I just like Paul and just walk out there. I just want to be like Paul. Like, that's what they think faith is. Faith is a revelation. The reason Paul could walk out there like he was and be so bold, he had a revelation of who he was and who Jesus was. So he wasn't concerned about what everybody said. He was only concerned with serving Jesus Christ. And seeing the one true and living God. Seeing Him as what He is. Not what He was. The apostles, the only way you can come up that pyramid is to be born again by faith, which is a new birth, which is the birth of the Word. And then you keep being born again, Peter said, until you come out to the headstone. The prophet said this in time would receive the capstone, I'll get to it Wednesday, the capstone revelation of Jesus Christ. What do you think is going to take us out of here? When brother so-and-so gets it and gets us to move and we get to, and I'm not against moving, I love it. But there's one thing I cherish more than anything else. That's my Father's Word. My father died when I was 5 years old. I never had a figure outside of my oldest brother or something to be even a daddy figure. How do you cherish the fact that you've got your fathers and your mothers with you, that you can be able to, it doesn't matter if they're in a wheelchair, Brother Gary, pushing them around. You still thank God for the fact that you can see your daddy and your mother, and you can talk to your daddy, and he still is mind sharp and clear, and everything is wonderful. Visit them every chance you get. And tell them you love them. I would to God I'd give everything I could beg, borrow, and steal for my daddy to be sitting right there. Because I'd ask him one question. I'd say, Daddy, where did you get the idea when you and Mama was talking about Genesis and what happened in the garden, and you told her where the sex act was in the garden? I'd say, Daddy, where'd you get that? I'd say, Daddy, I'll sit down. Now you come and tell us where you got it. Because he told her. But you see, church, I know who my real daddy is now. My real daddy is the eternal God of glory. And his name is Jesus. Come on, Brother Boyd. Come on, musician. Think on these things. He promised to keep us from the hour of temptation. He promised to keep us when these doctrines would be flying right and left. And you let this thing turn another turn or two of the cogwheels of life, and you watch it. And you watch the people of this message around the country, and you watch where that things will start happening when the persecution really gets to setting in, and there'll be all kind of doctrines flying, and they'll say, look, we must be of God, we get results. The Seventh Thunder Virtue people, 5 or 10 years ago, had a service one day, 13 hours, I believe was the right number. Most of you are done wore out now. We've only been an hour and a half. In the Bible, they found a scroll that they didn't know they had. It took them nearly 6 hours to read it. And you know what they done? They worshiped for 6 hours. That's what the Bible said. They worshiped 6 hours over a scroll that they didn't know they didn't have. They found one time they're supposed to, a certain little times of the year, they're supposed to go out and get, and the only way I can figure it out is they stick houses. They're supposed to go out and build them bogs, some kind of little stick house, and they're supposed to sit under that. And they're supposed to have certain things to eat and certain things to do, and when's supposed to eat this, when's supposed to do that. And they was just as happy, sitting out in the sunshine, fulfilling the Word of God. There ain't no air conditioner out here. Move over, it's hot. I'm sleepy. I gotta go to work tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. But you see, He'll keep us from the hour of temptation. He will not let us go into the World Council of Churches. He will keep us. Thank God for the truth. Go ahead, brother. 6:12 in this parable book. Tear painted for the water so after thee. Let's stand. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. He said He'd keep us. That's a promise in red letter from the mouth of Almighty God. Desire, and I long to worship You. Do you? You are my strength, and You are. Anybody have a need? He's our healer. He's our Savior. He's all in all, and Jesus is His name. You alone are my strength. You alone that the Spirit gives. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. You more than gold and silver, only You can satisfy. Only more than gold and silver, why? One strike of the pen. Your gold and silver is no good from one stroke of the pen. Banks are now folding up because they have loaned too much money. said it would take at least 3 months to even to be able to recognize what had taken place and what it would cause. Just from loaning too much money. Because they're loaning it knowing they're not going to get it back. Think about it. The prophet said one day, if you knew what your money was, he said, you'd take it out in the street and burn it. That's what he said. Sterling's got to go tomorrow and have, how many teeth? Have 9 teeth pulled. I was kidding him a while ago. I said, you're going to make sure you keep them teeth and you put them under your pillar. So we want to know how much money the tooth fairy brings. Well, we don't believe in the tooth fairy. No, but we have a lot of fun about it. The kids get a few dollars by the tooth fairy. But we want him to be all right. We want the operation to be a success because his teeth is coming down and everything. It's going to mess everything up if he don't do it. So we do all we can. We believe in doctors. Thank God for doctors to be able to help us in the time, you know, when we need it. Thank God for them. But let's believe. Father, we send this prayer cloth with Sterling, Lord, and just take it, brother, and pin it on him. And he goes and needs teeth to be pulled, and you just, Lord, you be with him. You help him. You can keep away the pain and the problems. And let him just, everything be normal and everything be right for the teeth to come back in place. We believe you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Desire and I long to worship. Amen. Go back to the foundation. Go back to the faith of the fathers. Go back to the revelation that they had of God. Then you got Alpha and Omega. Then, once you get back to the faith of the fathers, then you can talk about the opening of the seals. Because they're not going to open to you until you come back to the faith of the Father. Oh yeah, you can read a lot about it and a lot of things can be made known. Amen. But if you're not back to the faith of the fathers, how could you have the foundation to be able to understand what it is? You hear the call and know that fear is moving me to give my all. What about it? He speaks to me and I agree. Do you? So please come and take control. I feel the pull, do you? I feel that I lay in bed and I begin to cry. Right? My mind goes back. Does it? Our little buddy's coughing. We know there's a lot of that going around causing a lot of problems. We lay our hands upon brother, our little buddy. He believes me, Lord. He's my buddy. We believe you, Father, that by your stripes he's healed. In Jesus' name. When everything's all right in Jamaica, Sister Tanisha, what is the sign? You didn't know I remembered. If you couldn't get nothing else over to anybody there, you'd just say, everything's well. And you look back and they, all's well. All is well. So please come and take control. I feel. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for all things, and we pray that what we said today has been worthy. Forgive us when it's not. Cleanse away anything that wouldn't be right, but just make it to be that you could speak. As the prophet said, I just do the best I can to speak, and you can break the spell over their eyes through the word that I say, and then you can speak directly to their heart. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, if we'll just take that word and stay in that word, it'll take us back to the foundation, and there won't be any... Lord, we didn't get to the last part of the message because you said we'd go no more out. We're not going out after all these doctrines of all of the world and the things. We're going to stay with what you said. No matter if we're just an isolated group of people that don't get to go and do, but we're going to stay with you because we're going to go no more out. We're going to walk in you. Just have your way now. Bless everybody on the highway. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey home. Let your loving grace be with all of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. I gave you these quotes here, which was this morning, that I just quoted, where Brother Branham was talking about that there in Revelations 1, about 17, about that was not a prophet, that was God. In Revelation 17, where he fell down to worshiping. And then the last one is where Brother Branham said that it is the only book, the book of Revelation, the only book in the entire Bible that is written by Jesus through personally appearing to a scribe. That ought to be enough to let you know who that is in Revelation. Now, I've got a lot of quotes on what the prophet said about it, pros and cons, and I'll bring them to Lord willing. If I can remember it, I'll bring them Wednesday. I've got them all written down. And I'll bring them to you to show the pros and the cons of what everybody believes about the message. But I believe it was Almighty God that appeared in the form of the prophet, to lead into the Word. Because no matter what, no angel and no prophet could reveal the book of Revelation. The prophet can. Because he could not only bring it to John, he was also the one that could quicken it to John. Because he was the Holy Spirit also. That's who I believe he is. Thank God. Just believe. You're dismissed. I feel the...